Chris Lewerton here, and welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. Well, today I have two guests with me, Charity Roth, JCH Foundation Director, and Nathan Bishop, JCH EMS Coordinator. Welcome, you guys, to the studio.
Thank you for having us. Good morning.
Yeah, this is kind of exciting. Now, did you guys bring the ambulance here today?
Well, I have
heard the sirens going.
I have our rapid response SUV out there. I don't have the ambulance today.
Hey, now, we get in the middle of this interview. Are you going to get a call and you got to leave? Or are we going to be able, are you off duty now? Or what? You got to break time?
Never off duty completely. One never knows.
Okay. Yeah. So, great to have you. It's kind of exciting. We were talking about the amount of calls. Well, first of all, Nathan, where are you from?
I'm actually a Greenfield boy.
Greenfield.
Grew up, born and raised in Greenfield. My family had the funeral home over there. And I've been here since 1999. I always like to say I started in the late 90s. September of 99, you can't get much later in the 90s than that. I live here in town now.
I know you don't know this, but, you know, I started off my life in Greenfield.
Did you really?
Yeah. My dad had a farm. He got out of the Air Force and wanted to be a farmer. He tried farming. He didn't make it. He was there for about 5 years. And my sister Cindy and I were born there. Jeff, my brother Jeff and Debbie. Now, Jeff loved the farm. He was like, oh, he hated to leave the farm. But
I'll bet.
So we start off in Greenfield.
I did not know that. That's cool.
Yeah. And so you were in the funeral home business.
My family owns the funeral home. My brother Dan owns the funeral home now.
Okay.
Started in 1898.
Wow.
One of the oldest family-owned and operated funeral homes in the state of Illinois.
Now, did you help out?
I did. I was the youngest, so everybody helped out a little bit through the years, but I enjoyed it.
Did you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the one thing I never realized about funerals or about the funeral home business until my dad passed away, you know, which was back in 94, you know, and the thing I realized is what a service a funeral home the operators do for helping the family get through the crisis, you know, I was just like, oh, now I understand how come this is a good job. You know, I thought,
was very important.
Ever wanted to do that.
Yeah. It was very important to my parents and my brother Dan does just a fantastic job.
Well, I bet he does. So how did you get in the ambulance business?
You know, I, always been interested in helping people, and I took my EMT training through the hospital here. Like I say, we started in January of 99 is when I did my EMT training here. Sonny Rankin is a very well-known person around here. He was the EMS coordinator here for several years, and he taught me as an EMT and then hired me a few months later, and I've been here since. Yeah.
Now you're the head honcho.
Now I'm the EMS coordinator, so I'm,
Charity, how are you doing?
I am doing wonderful, doing wonderful.
So what are you directing lately? Got anything going on?
Oh, there's all kinds of stuff going on all the time. Resale shop, we've got that going. Lots of events and lots of things going.
A lot of action at the resale shop?
Always. Oh, yeah. Especially this time of year. Christmas is one of our busiest, biggest times.
Any messages or anything that you would say that maybe the resale shop could use to resell that people may have, and they go, huh, well, yeah, I'll get that over to you. Anything you're looking for?
One thing we are always looking for is children's clothing. That's a really high demand, and we don't get a lot of it. The things that we put out on the floor, we have very high quality, and so obviously kids are a little rougher on things. So if you've got some really good used kids' clothes that you want to donate, those are always in desperate need.
Okay.
Yeah. So yes. I will say they're getting ready to take a pause for Christmas on the donations. So they're going to stop taking donations from the 17th to January 2nd, just to allow our volunteers time with their families. But other than that, come January 1, please, you know, if you're cleaning out closets because you got brand new clothes, bring in your old ones.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, in good shape.
Now, do you have a big need for like size 14 shoes?
Oh my goodness!
I have several extras. Around.
Absolutely.
Oh, you do?
Anything of any of, I would say the large sizes, anything like that. I have the same situation. My boys are all very large feet. Yeah, actually, there's 15 and 16s in my family. So yes, those are always things that the shop needs.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Now, Nathan, back over to you, Nathan.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. The ambulance service is open 24/7.
We never close.
You never
close. Just like the ER, we never close.
Okay, and you have a couple different spots that you operate from. Tell me about that.
Correct. So we keep an ambulance in Jerseyville at the hospital, And then we have a south, we call it our south unit. And they spend part of their time at the station out on Route 3, the QEM Fire Station, and part of their time down in Grafton. You may see them sitting watching the river flow by, or they may be in the city hall area. But we try to keep the county covered from all angles.
And so 24/7, you said you had two crews.
Correct.
Right. And so tell me, how many people do you have employed to cover all that?
We have 22, currently have 22 EMTs and paramedics between full-time and part-time. And they get a workout, that's for sure.
Yeah. What do people really enjoy? Because I know you've been doing it, and you work around people that evidently they must like being an EMT. What's the draw?
I think helping people is a big draw. But for me, one of the things has always been that you never know from one minute to the next what you're going to be doing. There's so many jobs that people get into a mundane repetition, and it's the same thing in and out, and that is not the case for us. Mm-hmm. You could be having lunch one minute and working a car wreck the next minute, or taking a patient to Springfield, you know, an hour later. You don't know what you're going to get into from one minute to the next. And I think that is part of the appeal, honestly.
And how many calls do you go on in a year?
I think the numbers are in the 2,400 to 2,500 range.
I see. Yeah. So somebody, if something happens, and you call 911, mm-hmm. all right, what are some other options that are going on now that you guys have?
So the 911 dispatch for us is through Jersey County, mm-hmm. and they are trained. They're what is referred to as an EMD, emergency medical dispatcher. And they are trained to give advice over the phone to begin care if needed before the crew gets there. They will have a lot of questions because there's a lot of things we need to know before we arrive. There's a lot of things they need to know. Do they need to send law enforcement? Do they need to send fire department, et cetera? So there will be lots of questions. One of the things that is very important for people to know is we do have what's called text 911. Yeah. And if you are in a position where you are unable to speak for whatever reason, whether it's a medical emergency that you can't speak,
right,
whether you think someone's in your house and you don't want to make noise,
exactly,
you are able to text to 911 and it will go to our dispatch center at the sheriff's office.
So I suppose then you text, right? Yep. And then they will text back.
They can respond to you. They can get whatever information they need and get help rolling your way.
Okay. And so you deliver mutual aid. I mean, you guys are a big organization. Who all do you cover? Who all works together?
So we primarily cover Jersey County for 911 response, and we do transfers for the hospital as well. But we also do have mutual aid agreements with our surrounding counties. So, for example, if Calhoun has a call and they're not able to get a crew, we can respond to help them out. Greene County helps us. We help them go back and forth because times are busy. There are lots of calls depending on the day, the time of the day, et cetera. You may be having 3 or 4 calls coming in an hour. Well, if you've only got 2 trucks, it's hard to handle that many calls. So Greene County Ambulance will come help us. We'll go help them. Medora Shipman area. We even go into Madison County from time to time to help them out when it's...
Now, are those other counties, those smaller counties, like Calhoun and Greene County, are they full-time or do they have volunteer?
So Calhoun Ambulance Service has a volunteer agency and Medora Ambulance Service is a volunteer agency. Greene County has a full-time agency operating out of Boyd Hospital, and just like us, they have 2 trucks covering for them as well.
Yeah, my dad, years ago back, he was a fire chief in Hardin.
Oh, is that right?
And they got the ambulance, the volunteer ambulance started. And him and my sister, Debbie, and her good friend, Martha Carmody, were on call on Wednesday nights, okay?
There you go.
From 6 to 6.
There you right? go. Sure. Yep.
And I can remember, you know, of course, my dad always drove, right?
Yeah.
Like a bat out of hell.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know, I think that's part of the appeal, yeah, too. Yeah,
right.
You know, the flashing lights and the sirens. I think there's some appeal to that as well.
Yeah. He drove it like a bat out of hell anyway. And when he could legally do it.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Watch out.
Sure.
I can remember one time, just the story where he had a flat tire or something. About ruined the ambulance. Getting there, but you had to get him to the hospital. Didn't care, you mm-hmm. know. But now we were talking in the health business. There are recommendations? You know, like one of the big things, somebody has a heart attack, right?
Sure.
What's recommended?
Well, if you're experiencing chest pain in any capacity, you definitely need to get to the hospital. And if 911 and calling for us to come get you may be very necessary as well. I always tell people, don't ignore what your body is telling you.
Mm-hmm.
If you think something is wrong, get checked out. In the event of a heart attack, in the event of a stroke, you really don't have a lot of time to ignore it, or, oh, I'll feel better in an hour, or I'm sure everything's fine. Don't ignore what your body's telling you.
Yes. What would you think the timeline is for you to get somebody inside the city limits of Jerseyville if they're having a heart attack? What's usually the time?
Our average time, as long as the ambulance is available, as long as the ambulance is not on another call.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Our average response time within the city limits is 6 to 7 minutes.
Well, what if they're on another call? Then what happens?
The way you may be waiting on an ambulance. If our trucks are tied up, you may be waiting on an ambulance from Greene County. You may be waiting on an ambulance from Alton, but that's only if our trucks are both tied up at the time.
Okay. How equipped are these ambulances?
You know, it's come a long way. Even in the time I've been here, it's significantly different. I like to call them traveling emergency rooms because we have the same type of equipment, the same medications and things like that that you would receive in the event of an emergency in the emergency room. We're kind of an extension there, so we can begin the treatment. We can begin the IVs and the medications and the advanced things as well. If somebody's not breathing or somebody's heart's not beating, we've got the capability to deal with that as well and get them to the emergency room.
If you're just joining us, I have Charity Roth and Nathan Bishop with us with the JCH Hospital Foundation and the ambulance service. Nathan, so you have crews and you're all set up, but for the listener, all right, somebody's having a heart attack, all right, and somebody else is calling, what do you think? What's the procedure that should happen?
So one of the things we're going to need first of all, we have to get to you. We have to find you. So that enters with providing the county dispatcher with all of the information they need.
Right.
Secondly, they're going to dispatch us. We get dispatched over the radio, and they send messages to our phones. And the message they send to our phone has a map attached to it. And that's how we know to get where we're going. Unfortunately, not everywhere, not everybody has their numbers on their house or on their mailbox or marked clearly. Well, and even if they do, if there's snow on the ground or it's nighttime, that poses a challenge as well. Mm-hmm. So I always tell people, put your porch light on. If there's somebody that can go outside and wave for us or motion for us, and a lot of people do that. Mm-hmm. You know, if we've got a row of houses and it's not clearly marked or it's dark, we look and, you know, they may say, there's a red van in the driveway, so that gives us something else to look for, or somebody standing out waving for us does help as well.
You know, even in town, because for a short time when we were at George's, we were doing delivery, like during COVID, and we get, my gosh, it was hard to find people's houses.
It's absolutely
so dark
right.
on some of these streets.
Absolutely right.
You know, so turn the lights on, maybe turn your car on. And
anything you can do to help us find you.
Sit inside and flash the porch light on and off.
People do that. Absolutely. Absolutely, yes.
Now, one other thing that you mentioned, medication list.
Yeah, we will need to know what the patient's taking, especially if it's a patient that's not able to communicate with us, if they're really weak, tired, can't really talk much, or if they're having a more critical a health emergency where they're not able to communicate. We need as much information as we can, not only to know for us to proceed, but then we got to paint the picture for the doctor when we get to the emergency room. This is what we found. This is what's going on. This is what we did. So we need medication lists, or some people just bag up their medication bottles in a Walmart bag and we take that. That's perfect. Okay. Absolutely perfect.
All right. Well, one thing, now there's later, you know, they're always, you said they were always making recommendations of the do's and don'ts. Tell us kind of on the heart attack situation when you get there, what's kind of your procedure?
So for a patient that's just having a heart attack, we would get them into the ambulance, get their treatment started. We start IVs. We give aspirin and nitroglycerin, other medications we carry for treatment. But that's when the medication list is important to know, because if they are allergic, we also need to know allergies. If they're allergic to something, we don't want to give them something that they're allergic to and cause an additional problem, or we would not give you an aspirin if you already take a full strength aspirin that day. So that's why all that information is very important for us to have.
Yeah, but you mentioned something about working on them right there.
So if the patient has a cardiac arrest, one of the latest recommendations from the American Heart Association for a patient that enters cardiac arrest, this means their heart has stopped beating and they have stopped breathing. So that's when CPR is involved. That's when putting the tube down the throat's involved. That's when shocking people's involved. So since paramedicine has come so far, since our capabilities have increased so much, one of the latest recommendations from the Heart Association is that we will treat the patient right where they drop, right where they went into cardiac arrest. Now, this is the patient that somebody was there, somebody saw this happen. This is not necessarily the case if you walk in and somebody's been deceased, been in a cardiac arrest for a while or been deceased for a while. This is the patient that the dispatcher is going to tell the person who calls how to do CPR, walk them through that. So the latest recommendation is that we treat the patient right there for a 20-minute period. So it's entirely possible that we show up, the patient's in cardiac arrest, we give them our medications, and we provide CPR, and we provide advanced airways, and we're unsuccessful in resuscitating them, that we will not transport them to the hospital. At that point in time, we would simply notify the coroner. If in that time frame we are able to resuscitate them, then they would be transported to the hospital. So people just kind of have an awareness that the days of just throwing them on the stretcher and running are behind us.
Okay. Now, you've got a new ambulance, got a new truck.
We do. We're very excited about that. Yeah. It actually just went into service yesterday.
And a lot of the money to put that truck mm-hmm. together came from the resale shop.
Yes.
And the recent Duck Derby.
Yes. But our community, our county is so generous and helps us so much. Mm-hmm. Businesses, individuals, we are very fortunate in the way that people will reach out, the way that people will make donations. So yes, a very fair portion of it came from the resale shop, mm-hmm. and a very successful Duck Derby. Was this our third Duck Derby?
This was our third Duck Derby. Yes, third? Yes, this was the third.
Okay, and you got a hog raffle and a bake sale coming up.
We're very excited about that. So Racing Brothers Pork, Sean and Hayden Seavers out of Hardin donated a pig for us.
Oh, and, I know those guys.
Yep, good old boys. And Fritz's Meat and Packaging, they're helping us out with the processing. So we are raffling. The tickets are $5 a piece or 5 for 20. And the first prize is half of the hog with the processing. Second prize is the other half of the hog with the processing. And the third winner gets $100 cash right before Christmas. Yeah.
Fantastic. And you recently donated an AED to St. Patrick's.
Well, we're getting ready to. We've got church, that's pending. We've donated several throughout the community and throughout some of the churches. The St. Patrick's in Grafton was voted to be our recipient. We have different people that reach out.
Okay, so you're always so, and an AED is a
it stands for automated external defibrillator.
Okay,
and so that is used. A lot of people think an AED is like a jump box for your car. Battery's dead. You hook this up, it jumps it. Without going,
well, we're talking about body,
right? Correct. But an AED will not start a stopped heart. There are two life-ending heart rhythms that the purpose of this will shock it with the hope that the heart will start again beating effectively. So you're not like jump-starting a stopped heart. You're stopping a heart from beating incorrectly to get it to beat correctly, for lack of a better phrase. So yeah, a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, we just hook this up and jump start it. That's not the way it works. Mm-hmm. But these are very important devices that need to be used in a very timely manner. You've literally just got minutes. Yeah. From the time a patient goes into what is called cardiac arrest, you literally just have minutes.
And it's good to have one. I know everybody's...
We try to get them everywhere.
Yeah. And now I hear that you guys are giving a LifeVac anti-choking device to
these
all
are
the
cool.
restaurants.
These are really, really cool. Yeah, they're fantastic. You can look up on YouTube or see some TikToks, see some videos mm-hmm. of exactly what they do. It sounds kind of silly to say, but it's almost like a plunger for the face. You know, it's got a mask on, it's got a handle on it, mm-hmm. and it's used if someone has a full airway obstruction. Something is preventing them from getting air in and out of their body. And these are fantastic tools.
Can you still do the Heimlich?
Yes. We call them abdominal thrusts now, but yes, that is still a thing. That absolutely is still a thing. And we do teach that in our CPR classes as well through our training center. But yes, this is the time that this device will be used if the patient, maybe they're not responding to the abdominal thrust or they're flat on the ground, or with a child, you could just lay them down. This is a patient who has a full airway obstruction. They're not able to cough. They're not able to breathe. And you use this, again, it looks kind of like a plunger, to try to draw draw whatever is causing them to choke out of their throat.
And evidently is this new?
It's newer. They've been around for a little while, but they're becoming more and more prominent. You're seeing them be used in more places. So we're able to purchase because of our donors to our ambulance association, because of those who come to make our events successful, whether it's our fish fries or our hog raffles or whatever we're doing, because of our donors, we're able to not only provide things for our ambulance service, but also for the community as well. And so we have purchased one, or we purchased 40 of them, I believe. 40, we ordered 40. Yes. They're not in yet. They're supposed to be in today, maybe Monday. We're hoping to get them dispersed by Christmas time, just a little early Christmas present for our locally owned restaurants. And most of them don't even know they're getting them yet. We've kind of just put this project together. And I haven't reached out to all of the restaurants yet. But if they do not currently have one of these devices, they're going to get one from the Ambulance Association.
Will these be mounted on the wall, like in the dining room or something?
They'll put them wherever it's the most convenient for somebody to grab, I hope.
And then will they show people how to use them?
Yep, we do. Any of these devices, we do the training ourselves on. We donate an AED. We teach your group how to use it as well. So the same thing with these. We will teach the staff, managers, owners, whoever they want, we'll teach them how to use them too.
Hey, we're just about out of time.
Okay.
But I would like for you to give a pitch, because I know you're always recruiting for EMTs.
So we do need EMTs. We do need paramedics.
How great a job it is.
You know, JCH is a fantastic place to work. I've been, like I say, I started here when I was 18 years old, and I'm older than that now. You know, it's a family. We're growing. We've got clinics and places in several counties in the area. JCH is a fantastic place to work, and I strongly recommend. We have great training resources.
And it's a fun job.
It really is. We got great support from administration, great support from other departments in the hospital. When we do our fundraisers, the other departments in the hospital help us with everything.
Yep. Volunteer and give of their time. And absolutely. Even on their breaks, they'll come out and help with things.
Absolutely, you know, right. JCH is a great place.
It really is.
Well, yes. And thank you guys so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
And good luck in all you're doing and for all the things you got going on with the hog raffle and
check out our Facebook page, JCH Ambulance Association, or the JCH Foundation page. There's links on there to be able to buy your hog raffle tickets online, or come see us at our bake sale. We'd love to have you donate items for our bake sale too.
Yeah, if you got a thing for baking, then donate.
Please
that.
Do. We'll take them.
All right,
December 20th.
Yep,
December 20th. All right, thank you so
thank
much.
You, sir.
Thank you. Have a
take
good day.
Care.